RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. The Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte hopes to solve regional and international issues in the opening remarks of the 31st ASEAN Summit. Indonesia-Japan launched logo of 60th anniversary of diplomatic ties. Now the news in detail. The Philippines President Rodrigo Roa Duterte officially opened the 31st ASEAN Summit in Manila, Philippines. In his opening remarks, President Duterte conveyed the condition of the Philippines, which is in the process of rehabilitation after facing an uprising of extremist groups in Marawi City. He expressed his appreciation to the ASEAN countries who participated to help the Philippines in resolving the Marawi conflict. President Duterte also said this is the basis of the ASEAN summit meeting in Manila. Furthermore, Duterte encourages ASEAN member countries and dialogue partners to focus their discussions on efforts to resolve the problems that occurred both in the regional and international level. President Duterte mentioned several things that should be concerned by the state leaders who participating in the ASEAN summit, such as issues of terrorism, piracy, and armed robbery at sea, as well as transnational drug trafficking. This should be concerned so that ASEAN can build prosperity while providing protection to the community.
But I only want to emphasize that our meetings for the next 2 days present an excellent opportunity for us to engage in meaningful discussion on matters of regional and international importance. For example, terrorism and violent extremism endanger the peace, stability, and security of our region because these threats know no boundaries. Piracy and armed robbery in the seas put a dent on our growth and disrupt the stability of both regional and global commerce. The menace of illegal drug trade continues to endanger the very fabric of our society. These and other issues are high on the agenda of our meeting, along with the other non-traditional security issues that challenge the prosperity of our economies, the integrity of our institutions, and more importantly, the safety of our people.
Furthermore, President Rodrigo Duterte also said that together with the leaders of ASEAN member countries and the dialogue partners, he will sign the ASEAN consensus on the protection and promotion of the rights of migrant workers. According to him, the action will provide not only social protection but also legal protection for migrant workers in ASEAN region. A total of 20 heads of state and heads of government of ASEAN member countries and dialogue partners, including President Joko Widodo, attend the ASEAN summit, which themed Partnering for Change, Engaging the World. The heads of state will exchange views in discussing current issues in the region and international level within the next 2 days. Indonesian President Joko Widodo initiated a state visit in Manila, Philippines, with a bilateral meeting with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe on Sunday afternoon, November 12. The meeting of the two heads of state was accompanied by a number of ministers and related officials. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi explained, in the bilateral meeting, the two heads of state launched the logo of the 60th anniversary of diplomatic ties between Indonesia and Japan. According to her, the launch of the 60-year logo of Indonesia-Japan diplomatic relations will be followed by a series of activities within the framework of cooperation between the two countries, which will be implemented both in Indonesia and Japan.
In their bilateral meeting, President and Prime Minister launched the logo of 60 years of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Japan. Next year is a very important year for Indonesia and Japan, as we will celebrate 60 years of diplomatic relations. And we have discussed what activities will be conducted jointly both in Japan and Indonesia in commemorating the 60 years of diplomatic relation.
In addition to the launch of the logo of 60th anniversary of Indonesia-Japan diplomatic relations, President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Shinzo Abe also discussed the ongoing cooperation projects between the two countries. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, infrastructure development becomes one of the themes of discussion, given the large contribution of Japan in Indonesia in that field. After meeting with Prime Minister Abe, President Joko Widodo continued his activities by attending the gala dinner along with other ASEAN heads of state in the framework of the 50th anniversary of ASEAN. 10 ASEAN member countries and China launching negotiations on Monday for a long-delayed maritime code of conduct, COC, that will govern how countries should interact with one another in the disputed South China Sea. Indonesia's top diplomat said ahead of a key meeting between the partners. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi revealed late on Sunday that ASEAN's focus for the ASEAN-China summit on Monday, November 13, was to begin negotiations on the COC in the South China Sea. Minister Retno Marsudi told the reporter after a bilateral meeting between Indonesia and Japan in Manila that Indonesia already has the framework of the COC in the bag, so it's time for Indonesia now to start the negotiations. The ASEAN-China summit, just like all other ASEAN Plus One meetings, will issue an ASEAN chairman's statement at its conclusion. In the draft of the ASEAN Chairman's Statement for the 20th ASEAN-China Summit, a copy of which was obtained by the Post, leaders announced that, as the next step, both sides would officially commence negotiations on the COC. Indonesian victims of fire got 4 homes in Sungai Glugor Kampong, Taman Petani Jaya, Sungai Petani, Kedah, are currently in a process of identification. Consular Coordinator of Indonesian Consulate General of Penang, Mahdaniar Niswa, to RRI on Sunday, 12 November, said, to accelerate the identification process, the consulate, in cooperation with the Indonesian police, to take DNA samples of the families of the victims in Bangkalan, Madura, East Java Province. Disaster Victim Identification of Medical and Health Division of East Java Regional Police had collected the DNA of the victims' families on Saturday. In addition, after coordinating with the local placement and protection service for Indonesian migrant workers, the families have agreed to bury the fire victims in Malaysia.
Ini ada dua opsi ya. Kalau menunggu pihak keluarga datang kemari untuk pemeriksaan DNA itu memakan waktu.
There are two options. Waiting for the families to come here for DNA test needs time. The fastest option is the process of DNA identification by the Indonesian police, sending the DNA profile to here is considered to be a faster option. This is the faster procedure. Their families indeed do not want a long process of identification. According to our communication with the family through the Placement and Protection Service for Indonesian Migrant Workers Agency, the family decided to bury the bodies in Malaysia. We are waiting for a written statement from the families of the victims.
Five Indonesian nationals were killed in the fire. Meanwhile, the critical victim, Samsul, who was previously treated intensively in the ICU, died last Friday due to 70% of burn injuries. Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia, along with the Placement and Protection Service for Indonesian Migrant Workers Agency, is currently taking care of the corpse to be buried in Malaysia according to the request of the family. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Entering the 12th edition, the implementation of the Education for Indonesian Nation EUB program in Malaysia still invites enthusiasm of hundreds of Indonesian migrants. Chief Executive of the Education for Indonesian program, Dwi Hadi Saputra, to Radio Republik Indonesia on Sunday, 12 November, said that every edition of Education for Indonesia program managed to capture hundreds of Indonesian migrant workers who currently domiciled in Kuala Lumpur and surrounding. Through this program, they received education material such as English, computer, entrepreneurship, and sewing from volunteers as mentors for free. Each participant can join the class every Sunday starting from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Indonesia School, Kuala Lumpur.
Kalau saya lihat secara keseluruhan,
overall, we have more than 100 participants every edition. This year, there are 150 participants, so it could be our pride and the proof that Indonesian migrant workers actually need education. Their spirit to study is very high, so that we have to facilitate them to get education.
English class is the most interested class by many of participants because they use English for their daily conversation in Malaysia. Each edition of the Education for Indonesia program is held for 16 weeks meeting and examination for the last week. For English class, computer and sewing class, the participants are placed in special class. At the end of edition, the participants who pass the class will have a certificate which could be used to find a job when they come back to Indonesia. Illegal Levy Eradication Task Force Sabar Pungli Head Commissioner General Dwi Priyatno revealed that there are 1,316 cases of sting operations on illegal levies across Indonesia. For that reason, the task force holds dissemination in Car Free Day CFD event in General Sudirman Street, Central Jakarta, on Sunday, November 12. Dwi explained that there are typical sectors prone to illegal levies, including public services, permit and license application, law enforcement, and education. This program has been held in 18 provinces out of 25 provinces. The task force gather the people and provide accurate information on practices of illegal levies and how to prevent and handle such practices to exert deterrent effect. The last item, men's double badminton pair Ade Yusuf Santoso Wahyu Nayaka Arya Pangkaryanira took the title of the badminton tournament of the Open Macau Gold Grand Prix 2017 on Sunday, 12 November. In the match at Rua de Ferreira do Amaral, Macau, Ade Wahyu earned their title by defeating South Korean players Kim Wong-ho, Song Jae-so, with a score of 21-13, 21-14. Escorted by Antara in Jakarta Monday, 13 November, in addition to the victory of Ade Wahyu, Indonesia also obtained a silver from Macau through the men's singles player Isan Maulana Mustafa. Isan defeated Japanese player Kento Momota with a score of 16-21, 10-21. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. The Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte hopes to solve regional and international issues in the opening remarks of the 31st ASEAN Summit. Indonesia-Japan launched logo of 60th anniversary of diplomatic ties. Listener, the Westin News.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Healthy Country Start From Family. Health is the main and basic thing in life. The success of health program cannot be separated from the participation of the community that is originated from families. The family environment provides a basis for a person to have healthy habits, behaviors, and lifestyle. Therefore, efforts to instill clean and healthy living behavior in society must start from the family environment. The role of the family is so important in instilling healthy lifestyle, so that the Indonesian government decided the family as the central point of the 53rd National Health Day that was on November 12, 2017. In the 1990s, the biggest causes of death and illness in Indonesia were infectious diseases such as upper respiratory infections, tuberculosis, and diarrhea. But since 2010, non-communicable diseases such as stroke, heart disease, and diabetes have had a larger portion in health services. The shifting of the disease cannot be separated from the change in lifestyle and diet today. The changes from the traditional to Western diet, such as fast food that contains many calories, fat, and cholesterol, plus stress and lack of physical activity, especially in the big cities, start bringing about an impact. As a result, many people suffer from increased obesity and degenerative diseases such as coronary heart disease, hypertension, and diabetes mellitus. The shift in this type of disease results in a burden on state health financing. The resources to treat non-communicable diseases need not only high expense but also a long-time recovery. Here is the significant role of the family in instilling a healthy lifestyle among family members, especially children. A healthy family will produce a healthy generation. In addition, it will boost the productivity of the family itself. The more healthy families are, the higher the level of state productivity is. Ultimately, it will reduce the burden of state in financing of health services. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Ramana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over Radio Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start for an event on November 13, 1963 when Dr. Soeharto passed away. Dr. Soeharto was the Minister of Justice of Indonesia during three cabinets, the first, second, and third working cabinet. Dr. Soeharto served as a Minister of Justice for three periods. His first period was during the first working cabinet from 10 July 1959 to 18 February 1960. His second one was during the second working cabinet from 18 February 1960 to 6 March 1962. And his third period was during the third working cabinet from 6 March 1962 to 13 November 1963. During the third period cabinet, he was also the Deputy Prime Minister, Coordinator of Interior. Dr. Soeharto is also a national hero. He is an important figure in law in Indonesia. He passed away on 13 November 1963 and was buried in Kalibata Heroes Cemetery, East Jakarta. The next event was in 1998 when Semanggi I tragedy occurred. Sebagai satu tragedy, pointed out students and community protest against the implementation of special session agenda, which resulted in the deaths of civilians. The tragedy occurred on November 11 until 13, 1998. In November 1998, the transition of Indonesian government held a special session to determine the next general election and to discuss the government's agenda, which would be held. People in general and students rejected the session because they did not recognize the government of B.J. Habibie and did not believe in the members of the People Legislative Assembly and the New Orders People Constituent Assembly. In addition, they also opposed the dual function of Indonesian National Army. During the special session, the people, joining with the students, held demonstrations in Jakarta and other big cities in Indonesia every day. The event got big attention either from Indonesia or international world. Almost all schools and universities in Jakarta were closed to prevent students from gathering. Well, listener, the last event is that in November of 13, 2015, when a shooting and explosion occurred in Paris, France. The November 2015 Paris attacks were a series of coordinated terrorist attacks that occurred on Friday, 13 November 2015 in Paris, France, and the city's northern suburb Saint-Denis. Starting with the three suicide bombers struck outside the Stade de France in Saint-Denis during a football match. This was followed by several mass shootings and a suicide bombing at cafes and restaurants. Government carried out another mass shooting and took hostages at an Eagles of Death Metal concert in Bataclan Twitter, leading to a standoff with the police. The attackers were shot and blew themselves up when police raided the Twitter. The attackers killed 130 people, including 89 at the Bataclan Twitter. Another 413 people were injured, almost 100 seriously. Seven of the attackers were also killed, while the authorities continued to search for accomplices. The attacks were the deadliest on France since the Second World War and the deadliest in the European Union since Madrid train bombing in 2004. Well, listener, that was Student History read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is Indonesia becomes member of UNESCO Executive Board. Indonesia was elected to the UNESCO Executive Board for the 2017 to 2021 period in an election held on the sidelines of the 39th General Assembly of UNESCO Member States in Paris, France, on Wednesday, November the 8th. The Executive Board of the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, oversees the implementation of its responsibilities and ensuring the implementation of decisions of the Member State Assemblies. In addition to Indonesia, five other countries from Asia-Pacific are also elected to the executive board, namely Bangladesh, the Philippines, India, Japan, and the People's Republic of China. The 160 votes secured by Indonesia in this election are the top three after Japan and India in the Asia-Pacific group, shows Indonesia's importance in taking part in the executive board. The Indonesian delegation in the 39th General Session was led by the Minister of Education and Culture, Muhajir Effendi. Quoting Media Indonesia's report on November the 10th, head of the Bureau of Foreign Cooperation Program of the Ministry of Education and Culture, Suharti, who accompanied the Indonesian delegation leader, Muhajir Effendi, in the UNESCO session, said that the position would be used by Indonesia to fight for the national interest and enhance Indonesia's positive image in the international community. In addition to strengthening cooperation network among member countries of UNESCO, as well as fighting for regional interests and Indonesia's special mission in the global sphere, for example, fighting for Palestinian sovereignty. The written statement of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs states that the election of Indonesia as a member of the Executive Board of UNESCO is a proof of world recognition of the national progress in education, science, and culture. At the same time, it is the embodiment of diplomacy of the Republic of Indonesia, which prioritizes the benefit for the nation. As member of the UNESCO Executive Board, Indonesia has the authority to monitor UNESCO's work program and strive for more benefits to Indonesia. Indonesia, for example, has a natural reserve and cultural heritage listed on the UNESCO World Heritage List, such as Borobudur Temple and Ujung Kulon National Park. UNESCO can be encouraged to put forward the strengthening of human resources capacity, which Indonesia needs in taking care of natural wealth and national culture. It added, in the field of education, President Joko Widodo is one of the initiators of the establishment of the World Education Commission. Indonesia will be able to sharpen UNESCO's activities in the field of education, such as capacity building and good practice exchange, thus supporting national priorities to improve the quality of the nation's education. Hopefully, as a member of the UNESCO Executive Board, Indonesia will be increasingly dynamic in monitoring the potential tsunamis in the Indian Ocean under the UNESCO Oceanographic Commission so as to support the government policy in disaster prevention. Meanwhile, Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary and Permanent Representative of Republic of Indonesia to UNESCO, Hotmangaraja Panjaitan, on Thursday, November the 9th, said being a member of the Executive Board of UNESCO for 2017-2021 period will provide a strategic space for Indonesia to contribute in deciding the standard setting of UNESCO. According to Hotmangaraja Panjaitan, the position of UNESCO Executive Board member is very strategic to the national interest, considering that member countries of the Executive Board have a better opportunity to voice their interests and contribute to the decisions of UNESCO in education, science, culture, and communication and information. The Executive Board of 58 countries usually meets twice a year to formulate UNESCO programs and budgets, which are then submitted to the 195 Nation General Assembly for mutual approval. This is the 8th Indonesian membership after Indonesia joined UNESCO in 1950. That was Focus over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Indonesia becomes member of UNESCO Executive Board. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news in brief. The Philippines President Rodrigo Roa Duterte officially opened the 31st ASEAN Summit in Manila, Philippines. In his opening remark, President Duterte conveyed the condition of the Philippines, which is in the process of rehabilitation after facing an uprising of extremist groups in Marawi City. He expressed his appreciation to the ASEAN countries who participated to help the Philippines in resolving the Marawi conflict. Indonesian President Joko Widodo initiated a state visit in Manila, Philippines, with a bilateral meeting with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe on Sunday afternoon, November 12. The meeting of the two heads of state was accompanied by a number of ministers and related officials. 10 ASEAN member countries and China launching negotiations on Monday for a long-delayed maritime code of conduct COC that will govern how countries should interact with one another in the disputed South China Sea, Indonesia's top diplomat said ahead of a key meeting between the partners. Indonesian victims of fire cutted 4 homes in Sungai Gelugor, Kampung, Taman Petani Jaya, Sungai Petani, Kedah, are currently in a process of identification. Consular Coordinator of Indonesian Consulate General of Penang, Mahdaniar Nifah, to RRI on Sunday said, to accelerate the identification process, the consulate is cooperating with the Indonesian police to take DNA samples of the families of the victims in Bangkalan, Madura, East Java Province. Entering the 12th edition, the implementation of the Education for Indonesian Nation EUB program in Malaysia still invited enthusiasm of hundreds of Indonesian migrants. Illegal Levy Eradication Task Force Saberpungli head Commissioner General Dwi Priyatno revealed that there are 1,316 cases of sting operations on illegal levies across Indonesia. Therefore, the task force held dissemination in Car Free Day event in Jalan Sudirman Street, Central Jakarta on Sunday, November 12th. Men's double badminton pair Ade Yusuf Santoso, Wahyu Nayaka Arya took the title of the badminton tournament of the Open Macau Gold Grand Prix 2017 on Sunday, 12 November. In the match at Rua de Ferreira do Amaral Macau, Ade Wahyu earned their title by defeating South Korean players Kim Won-ho, Song Jae-soo with a score of 21-13, 21-14. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Tapian Putih Waterfall in West Sumatra. Stay tuned. Listeners, the tourism object in west of Sumatra always becomes the best place to spend holidays with family or to relax from daily activities. The province of West Sumatra is well known to have some tourism natural objects because the area has many kinds of hills and dense forests. One of the tourism objects in West Sumatra is Tapian Putih Waterfall. Listeners, Tapian Putih Waterfall is one of popular tourism objects in West Sumatra. This object is located in Nagari Village, Lubuk Alung District, Padang Pariaman. Tapian Putih Waterfall is formed by natural process. It is located in hilly area and this waterfall was formed from flow of water. The water flows on rocks and it makes scrap rock until it forms a small waterfall and many pools. Tapian Putih Waterfall has many small waterfalls that have 7 levels. Every level has a small pool utilized as a bathing house by tourists and local people. Listeners, although Tapian Putih Waterfall has been open for public, the local people still use Tapian Putih Waterfall for tradition. It is called Balimau Tradition. Balimau Tradition is the bathing tradition of the local people to clean themselves for welcoming the holy month of Ramadan. Up to now, Balimau Tradition is still routinely held by Minangkabau's people every year. This tradition usually held one day before the month of Ramadan. Listeners, Tapian Putri Waterfall has a legendary story. According to the story from local people, this place is usually used for seven angels' bath from paradise. The local people believe that there is seven angels' bath in each level of the pool. This story impacts the name given to this place, Tapian Putri, that means the bath of the angels. Listeners, Tapian Putri Waterfall can be reached around 40 kilometers from Padang City. The visitors of this place should use their own motor vehicle to reach this place because there is no public transportation. From Padang City, tourists have to go to Lubuk Alung District to Nagari Sikabu. Arriving in Nagari Sikabu, they will continue their trip, which covers around 1.6 kilometers to Korong Sika, Bukit entrance. From the entrance to reach the destination, tourists still continue to the top of the hill that has empty land as parking lot. The waterfall is not far from the parking area. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is ojek, or in English, motorcycle taxi. Stay tuned. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Kantor. Kantor, in English, office. Naik apa? Naik apa? How to go? Rumah. Rumah, in English, house. Tidak terlalu jauh. Tidak terlalu jauh. Not too far. Transportasi umum. Transportasi umum. Public transportation. Menggunakan. Menggunakan. To use. Motor. Motor. Motorcycle. Sepeda. Sepeda. Bicycle. Penumpang. Penumpang. Passenger. Satu orang. Satu orang. One person. Lebih murah. Lebih murah. Cheaper. Kota besar. Kota besar. Big city. Pesan. Pesan. To order. Aplikasi internet. Aplikasi internet. Internet application. Menawar. Menawar. To bargain. Harga pasti. Harga pasti. Fixed price. Besok. Besok. Tomorrow.
next is a conversation about ojek or taksi motor, or in English, motorcycle taxi. As usual, I'll say every sentence loudly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Mary and Annie at the office. Mary. Annie, kamu ke kantor naik apa? Annie, kamu ke kantor naik apa? In English, Annie, how do you go to the office? Annie, rumah saya tidak terlalu jauh dari kantor. Rumah saya tidak terlalu jauh dari kantor. In English, my house is not too far from the office. Saya naik ojek. Saya naik ojek. In English, I go by ojek. Mary, ojek, apa itu? Ojek, apa itu? In English, ojek, what is that? Annie, ojek adalah alat transportasi umum di Indonesia yang menggunakan motor atau sepeda. Ojek adalah alat transportasi umum di Indonesia yang menggunakan motor atau sepeda. In English, ojek is a public transportation in Indonesia that uses motorcycle or bicycle. Ojek hanya berpenumpang satu orang. Ojek hanya berpenumpang satu orang. In English, ojek or motorcycle taxi only carries one passenger. Mary, apakah lebih murah daripada taksi? Apakah lebih murah daripada taksi? In English, is it cheaper than taxi? Annie, tentu saja. Tentu saja. In English, of course. Mary, apakah di semua tempat ada ojek? Apakah di semua tempat ada ojek? In English, can we find ojek everywhere? Annie, sekarang ini di kota-kota besar sudah ada ojek online. Sekarang ini di kota-kota besar sudah ada ojek online. In English, currently online ojeks are available in big cities. Mary, apa itu ojek online? Apa itu ojek online? In English, what is online ojek? Annie, ojek online adalah ojek yang dipesan melalui aplikasi internet. Ojek online adalah ojek yang dipesan melalui aplikasi internet. In English, online ojek is a motorcycle taxi which is ordered by using internet application. Harga ojek online sudah pasti. Harga ojek online sudah pasti. In English, the price has already been fixed. Tidak bisa ditawar. Tidak bisa ditawar. In English, it cannot be bargained. Mary, baiklah, kalau begitu besok saya mau naik ojek online. Baiklah, kalau begitu besok saya mau naik ojek online. In English, all right, I will go by online ojek tomorrow. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present you to Kroncong songs sung by Savitri. Listener, to initiate the regular music corner for today, let's enjoy a Kroncong song entitled Melati di Tapal Batas by Savitri.
The song Melati di Tapal Batas is an original keroncong song composed by Ismail Marzuki. The song, which was written during the time of Indonesian independence struggle, tells about a young girl participated in a fighting movement along with other young people to save the nation. However, the songwriter seemed to invite a girl to return to farming, like the lyrics he wrote. Nur Agni Savitri, or better known as Savitri, brought the song with a keroncong in long music genre. The songs are also accompanied by music instruments such as ukulele, flute, and violin. Previously, Savitri was not interested to the keroncong music genre. But thanks to the support of the parents, Savitri then decided to learn keroncong music and she began to like it. Even Savitri said, singing keroncong songs is an irreplaceable pride in the journey of her life. Well, listener, now let's enjoy the song Sampul Surat by Savitri. The song tells about someone who received a letter from a special and beloved one. Once the letter was opened, there's nothing in it, only an empty envelope. Although the heart is destroyed, the letter is kept as memories for life. Her music career began while Savitri was in junior high school. Her popular began in Semarang, Centro Java, when she participated in the radio and television singing competition Bintang Radio Televisi. According to Savitri, singing the keroncong has a high level of difficulty. Her love and pride of keroncong music was poured into the work of an album of keroncong in Long. The album was released in 2009, contains 10 mixed songs of old and new Indo-Western songs, with a rhythm of keroncong rock or chong rock and keroncong dangdut or chong dut. The keroncong music, which was arranged with international and Indonesian styles nicely, was a form of Savitri's dedication to preserve keroncong music. Well, listener, see you and sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.